This morning's sermon is called The Final Week That Led to Calvary from the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 1 through 11. Shifting gears here from the Gospel of John to Holy Week. Now we're in Palm Sunday. We will go to the Gospel of Matthew, to his scripture, chapter 21, verse 1 through 11. This passage that we're going to go over this morning took place 5 days before Jesus went to the cross for his people. Let's go through the Word of God. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take a look at the first 5 verses in our passage this morning. It says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent 2 disciples. Saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, The Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them.' All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey.'" Let's take a look. Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, riding on a colt. A young donkey, as the scripture says. He was coming in on a donkey, a younger donkey, showing that he was coming in peace on this day. Jesus didn't come into Jerusalem riding on a horse like the kings would do, coming in force. He will do that at his second coming, not this coming. He did not do that. He came into the city, into Jerusalem, humbly, just as the scriptures said that he would, hundreds of years prior to this event. Jesus didn't come to conquer at his first coming. He came to save. He came to save us. His first coming was all about salvation. Jesus was giving the people another chance to receive him, the ones who didn't. Jesus was letting the people know on this day as he was riding into Jerusalem that he wasn't coming in judgment. He was coming to extend salvation through him. In verse 4 of those 5 verses that I just read, it mentions a prophet, which is the prophet Zechariah. The prophet Zechariah prophesied about this happening in his book 500 years prior to this event happening. I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to share it on the screen with you this morning. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Remember, this was written by him, the prophet, 500 years prior. Zechariah 9, 9. Zechariah wrote, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus fulfilled this prophecy on Palm Sunday. This was 500 years prior. The prophet Zechariah wrote that this is going to happen on Palm Sunday. And just as it did, it all happened just the way he prophesied. Incredible. Let's take a look at the verses 6 through 11 in our passage. Verse 6 says, "So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and sent him, Jesus, on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes, second time, multitudes of people, who went before those who followed, cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see what they were shouting, right? Psalm 118, as he's coming through. Fascinating. They continued, Hosanna in the highest. And when Jesus had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitudes, three times multitudes, lots of people, said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Let's talk about this. Three times in this short passage, we see the words multitudes of people. This was during Passover in Jerusalem. So there was lots of people around during this time. People came from all over to come to Passover. Church history tells us that there was approximately 2 million people here. 2 million, maybe even more, that were at this Passover as Jesus our Lord is coming in riding on a young donkey, just like the prophet said that he would. There's excitement in the air. It's festival time, and people were everywhere. Jesus had just completed his three-year ministry, and there's a real buzz in the air as Jesus made his way into Jerusalem, into the city, just as the scripture said that he would. As Jesus entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, his disciples were so excited. They're shouting, as we just read, they're shouting out loud. This was the first time that Jesus was allowing them to declare him as the Messiah in front of all the people. This was the very first time. And as we read, people were laying down clothes for him. They were cutting down palm branches, laying them down for him, and they were shouting for him. Spreading garments down on the street was an old ancient act of showing respect and reverence to high authority, someone with a high position, high royalty, suggesting that they recognize Jesus as their king, the king of Jerusalem. This is why they were doing this. It all adds up, and it all makes sense. Jesus' followers were shouting, as we just read, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means save now. They were shouting, save us, Jesus. Our King is here. They were also quoting Psalm 118, as we just read. They were yelling and shouting, Blessed be, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They knew the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. His followers were very excited to what was happening on this day, Palm Sunday. They were so excited. His followers were shouting with happiness. But by the end of this week, their cheers turned to tears. Their cheers turned to tears as they saw their king go to the cross and die for them. They thought that Jesus came to deliver them from the Roman government. They thought he came to rule and reign. Our king is here. But Jesus had a greater plan. He had a greater plan. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus had a bigger and better plan that they did not see. He came to rescue us from our sins. He came to declare victory over death and sin. But they didn't understand this at the time. Jesus came to offer salvation to the world through him. This was God's plan of salvation. This is all the works of God. Salvation is accomplished by God in the hungry heart of a believer. God works out all things according to the counsel of his will. And this was his plan. This was God's plan to save his creation. He could have started over, but he didn't. He wanted to save his creation through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh. Jesus came to offer salvation and peace through him. Now, there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament pointing to Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to share one with you this morning regarding Palm Sunday. It's an incredible prophecy. It's very, very fascinating. I find it to be the most fascinating prophecy in all the scriptures. In 537 BC, the prophet Daniel prophesied about this very day that we're reading about and celebrating this morning, which we call Palm Sunday. Daniel wrote about this 569 years. We're going to put that up after. You can just put that up after. Daniel wrote about this very day, 569 days, years prior to this happening. It's the Palm Sunday prophecy. Very, very fascinating. If you brought your Bible with you, I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 9. Then we'll post those last two verses that I want to go over with you. But I want to go through this with you. Very, very fascinating. I'm going to read this and share it with you as I go. Daniel chapter 9. We're going to be in verse 20 through 26. I'll let you get there. Take a minute. It's an incredible prophecy. This is all about Palm Sunday right here. Daniel chapter 9, verse 20 through 26. You're going to have to really put your thinking cap on here. Listen to what Daniel wrote. Verse 20. Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, Gabriel's an archangel of God. He stands in the presence of God. He's one of God's messengers. Whom I have seen, Daniel wrote, in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly. He reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he, Daniel, Gabriel, informed me and talked with me and said this, "Oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out from God. And I have come to tell you, Daniel, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, Daniel, consider and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy, Jesus. Listen carefully to 25. Now, therefore, and understand, Daniel, that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, Jesus, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. Tough times. Verse 26. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah, Jesus, shall be cut off, killed, but not for himself. Now, the two verses that I want you to look at, we'll post on the wall now, verses 25 and 26. I want you to look at these very carefully, these words of God. Verse 25 says, now therefore and understand, Daniel. This is Gabriel talking to Daniel. That from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, Jesus. In other words, until he arrives. Okay? On March 14th. That's not up there. I'm just telling you. On March 14th, 445 B.C., King Artaxerxes Longimanus signed the decree for Jerusalem, for Israel to go restore and rebuild Jerusalem, which is in Nehemiah chapter 2. You can read the whole chapter. Okay? Why don't you keep that date in mind? March 14th, 445 B.C., King Artaxerxes says, go rebuild and restore Jerusalem. Now remember, the angel Gabriel told Daniel that from that day, that the command, right, of the command until Messiah, Jesus, is going to arrive, okay? Gabriel said, there shall be 7 weeks. In Hebrew, that's 49 years, okay? In 62 weeks, he said, that's 434 years, right? In Hebrew, weeks means a series of seven, okay? They times the first number by a series of seven. So 7 weeks, 49 years, seven times seven, okay? You can do a little research on that on your own too if you want, okay? So he's telling us right now, in this one verse, there are going to be 434 years until the Messiah shows, okay? Verse 26, and after the 62 weeks, he's adding 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, which is 49 years, okay? The 49 and the 334. So, if we take 49 years and 434 years, that brings us to 483 years. I told you you're going to need your thinking cap this morning. But if you can follow me, this is fascinating. This is incredible. Now, the Hebrew calendar, there's only 360 days in it. Not like us. We have 365, okay? So if we times 483 years, like Gabriel said in the scripture, okay? If we times 483 years by 360 in the Hebrew calendar, okay? It equals 173,880 days, okay? 173,880 days. Remember that number. You got that, right? You guys got pen and paper, hopefully. Yeah, you got it? All right. I'm going to bring it up again anyway, so you can write it down the second time. So remember, Gabriel, God's messenger, his high archangel, comes to Daniel 500 years prior to this, from the command, he tells them, from the command to restore and rebuild until the Messiah, the Prince, it's going to be 173,880 days, Daniel. Daniel's probably like, okay, right, until Jesus arrives. So if we add, here's the fascinating part, if we add 173,880 days to March 14th, 445 B.C., because that's when the command went, and King Artaxerxes signed the decree for Israel to go rebuild Jerusalem, right? The command to go and restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince is going to arrive. Remember that, Daniel. Guess what day that brings us to? April 6th, 32 A.D., Palm Sunday in Jerusalem. If you add those days up, it's exactly what Daniel said. Gabriel told Daniel, using the Hebrew calendar, and our Lord, Jesus Christ, 173,880 days, comes riding in a donkey, just like Gabriel said he would. Unbelievable. To the exact day, Gabriel said, Daniel, write this down. From the command of this day, there's going to be 173,880 days, and Messiah is going to arrive to go to the cross for his people, to be cut off. To the day it happens. I think that's the most fascinating prophecy in all the scriptures. To the day. Every word in this book is true. Every word in this book left behind for you and me is true. There are so many prophecies throughout this Bible that have been fulfilled already. This Bible is full of evidence that God has left behind for us to see. It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. Now, before I close, 5 days from our reading, 5 days from this day, Palm Sunday, thousands of people are shouting for Jesus to be crucified, to be killed, to be put to death. 5 days from this day, Palm Sunday, back then, is Good Friday, the day Jesus went to the cross to die for his people. So why is it called Good Friday? Doesn't sound good to me, right? Doesn't sound like a good day to me. But why is it called Good Friday? Because it's the day that wrath and mercy met at the cross. I want you to know that. It's called Good Friday because without this day, salvation isn't offered through Jesus. That's how much Jesus loves you and me, that he would go to the cross for us. It's amazing. Wrath and mercy met at the cross on that day. On Good Friday, we remember the day that Jesus willingly, listen, willingly, the Romans didn't kill him. He went willingly. He could have sent down angels, as he said, I'll wipe all of you right out right here, right now. He went willingly for you. He went to the cross for you. Willingly. You know what that means, willingly? That means you were glad to do it. The scripture doesn't say make. It says he willingly went to the cross for you. The ultimate sacrifice for our sins, that all those who repent and believe in him can be saved. As the scriptures say, Jesus said, repent and believe in the gospel. the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the first words that Jesus said when he started his ministry. Mark chapter 1, verse 15, he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. In other words, believe in me and my works for what I did for you. Powerful. You know, for Christians, Good Friday is a very crucial day of the year because it's what we celebrate, which we believe it to be the most momentous weekend in all of history. On Good Friday, which we're getting ready to do this Friday. Ever since Jesus died and rose 3 days later from the grave, Christians have proclaimed the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ to be the most decisive turning point of all creation. This Friday is Good Friday, when we're going to take the time to honor and thank our Lord Jesus for this divine sacrifice that he did for us. I hope you can make it. It's this Friday at 6 p.m. I'm going to go through the prayer of what Jesus prayed in the garden. It's very powerful. I'm going to go through two passages on Friday evening of exactly what Jesus did before he went to the cross for his people. Very moving. I hope you can make it this Friday at 6 p.m. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, oh, the things that you have showed us in your word. So powerful, so moving, and all motivated by your mercy and love for us, your creation. We thank you for this, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, Jesus will become